Please open your Bibles up to the fourth chapter of Revelation. And we're going to begin reading with the first verse. And we're going to, so we can kind of keep everything in context, we said last week that the fourth and fifth chapter is kind of an introduction to the sixth chapter to begin. And so we have left the churches. We've had the introduction of our Lord and Savior and King of Kings in the first chapter. In the second and third chapter, we've looked at the churches. And on the back table, if you didn't get one, why, we have the printout of everything that's on the board. And so that way you can keep in mind what has taken place and really has gotten us to the position that we're in today in the Laodicean church age. It didn't just happen that way. Started at Ephesus. Smyrna was a wonderful church. Pergamos began to compromise. Thyatira, it just continued. Philadelphia is the only true church because they stayed true to the Word of God and true to the name of God, the Lord Jesus. Those two, and the two points that was really made in the Church of Philadelphia. And then we come to the time of Laodicea. And as we talked about in the Sunday school class, with the offering of their children to Molech, and they would literally put their children in the fire. And how a human mind could ever do that to your own child. And yet that shows you the condition, and there's not one single thing different from abortion today. To be able to kill a child and knowingly you're murdering and killing your own child. How anyone could ever be to that place. But that shows you that all the way back, in the time of with Leviticus and the Lord giving out the law and the plans of the tabernacle, that he had to tell them, if you do that, I will have you killed. I'll have you stoned. And again, it even went a little further than that and said, if you know somebody that has done that, and you didn't tell, you and your family will be put away. And so it is, and yet today, it's accepted. And so we need to be in prayer for our country. As we look at this time now, and we come to a place where the church has been raptured, and I believe that right here in the fourth chapter, we'll begin reading, and I'm going to read all the way down to the end of the fourth chapter, so we can kind of begin to get the feel of what's coming. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set up in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardis stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf. The third beast had the face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we have the opportunity to come and proclaim your word, to read this beautiful word that's before us, to hold it into our hand, to then take it out the door and carry it home and be able to study it this afternoon and tomorrow and the following day, and be able to glean from it and have the great teacher, the Holy Spirit. He will come and teach each one of us as we are believers. What a wonderful opportunity we have, not only to come to hear the Word of God together, but also then to be alone with you and study your Word and let the same Spirit teach us your way and will. You tell us where two or more are gathered, you're going to come in a special presence and special power, and we thank and praise you for that, and that's the reason we come together, to study your precious word, to keep our minds and our hearts in the right and walking the right way. And Father, thank you for this opportunity now. Bless us as we are about to enjoy this precious word, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we have enjoyed for quite a period of time the study of the seven churches. I hope that you folks have learned much. I know I have through the study. And we begin now as John is called up into the presence of the Lord. What we're going to enjoy much of the time this morning looking at is three stones: the jasper stone, the sardin or sardis stone, and the emerald, those three. And so you'll find those in the here in the third verse, and that is a description given of not only who is seated upon the throne, but also the throne itself is what surrounds the throne. So I hope that you enjoy the study. Again, John was called. He heard the trump talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show you these things which must be hereafter. And we have looked at the verse last time we were together, the past, the present, and now we're to the future. And so we're going to enjoy this. The church was not appointed to wrath. We've read verses of Scripture concerning that. The church is not appointed to judgment. We as believers are caught up in the air to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. We will go back and read in Thessalonians here in a minute concerning that wonderful picture of the rapture of the church. Again, up to this time, John is seen here upon earth in chapter 2 and chapter 3, but then the call comes, come up hither. The trump sounded. The history of the church has been written. We have enjoyed the study of that again for quite a period of time. The overcomers, those that are saved, those that are born again, now have been raptured. We are up into the presence of the Lord Jesus. And those that have rejected the truth, the gospel, have been spewed out, as the Church of Laodicea tells us, and they will go through this tribulation period. And we find in the first verse there, Behold, a door was opened. And John chapter 10, verse 9 says, I am the door, and by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And so we know that the only way of salvation is trusting in the Lord Jesus. And so it would just seem right that he would speak of a door that was opened for the church to come into his presence. This is not the first thing that John has heard, but that this is the first voice we hear now as he was summoned up to come. And let's go back and just to get yourself back prepared, 1 Thessalonians, we'll read these verses of Scripture and then we'll move forwards. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we've read them many times. You should know where these verses of Scripture can be found when someone asks you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning to read with verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Isn't it a joy that the Lord calls those that have died in Christ of just being asleep? That's how, you know, our soul is in his presence. The body went into the grave, but he just speaks as that asleep until he calls us home. What a wonderful thought and knowledge of the Word of God that what is to come. And immediately we find here that John was caught up, verse 2, and immediately I saw in the Spirit, and behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. Now we know that John could not go bodily. He had to just go in the Spirit because he still had the old flesh. We will go bodily into his presence. But here, why we know John is just in the Spirit, but it sure gives us this beautiful, beautiful picture. He gives us a description. And in that description lists jasper, sardis, and emerald in the third verse. And so as we look at that description for ourselves, you know, the Lord cannot tell us and John cannot write for us a description of our Lord other than using things that are upon earth. That's the only thing, only way that he can describe what he's seeing, what John is seeing, is by things. Man has painted a picture. You know, that's what men do. They try to have it, this picture that you see the one of him being crucified. You see that little drip of blood coming off his forehead. All you have to do is be around me very long, and you'll see my shiny head, and you'll see scars all over my head. And I guarantee you that one little scratch, and I don't just drip a drop of blood, it just looks like somebody has taken an axe to my head for the looks of it. And can you imagine having a crown of thorns driven onto your head? Not only the pain, the physical pain, but also the amount of blood that would flow from that. And yet, man has painted this little picture, the little drip of blood from his hands and from his side and from his feet. What a sad, sad thing to have. And as I've asked you before, if you have such a picture, please get rid of it, because it is blasphemy is what it is. And then also then you see the picture of the Lord Jesus that has been portrayed. How many of us think that that's probably what the Antichrist is going to look like, if anything, because we know that it doesn't look like the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not to have pictures of that. So John comes here and he gives his explanation of what he's seeing. And he said, "And he that sat was to look like a jasper and sardis stone." That's the description he gave. Like jasper and sardis stone. Something of great glory. Something very majestic. Something of great majesty, as showing his power and his strength. Why would John use these two stones to explain what he was seeing? You need to understand that in the Word of God, there is not a wasted word. When we've talked about this many times, when I sit down to write, I begin with the capital letter and a paragraph, so you go in and then you start and you begin to write, and I write and I write, and I get to one thought and then I say and I go on to the next thought and another thought, and then 3 pages later the only thing you can do is put a period. You're finished. One paragraph, one period, one capital. That's all anybody needs. Mrs. Bartine, my English teacher, would be so proud of me. And then I hand it to Suze, and she begins to take out the ands and put the capital letters and makes another paragraph here and puts a question mark here or a comma here. And all of a sudden now, instead of being a page and a half or 2 pages, it's 5 pages because of all the things that you have to add to it. Same thoughts there. Well, you see, sometimes when we say things, we put in extra things. We repeat ourselves, and the Lord, He repeats Himself. But the reason He repeats Himself is because it needs to be repeated so that we understand. We repeat ourselves just because we forgot we said it. And the Lord doesn't do that. The Lord is, He does it so we will listen and know. But when it comes to the description here, it's of great importance that we see why the Lord gave to John these words. The jasper stone and the sardis stone. Let's go back and see if we can find these stones someplace else. Let's go back to Exodus. All the way back to Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter 28. And we're going to begin reading here with the 15th verse. We have part of the garb, the wares that the high priest puts on. That's the place that we find ourselves here. Moses is up on the mount. He's getting the plans for the tabernacle. He's getting the Ten Commandments. And he's also getting all these sacrifices, plus all the preparation for what the priests and the high priest should put on and should wear. We find here that this is the breastplate for the high priest. Verse 15, Exodus 28:15, "And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, of purple, of scarlet, and of fine twined linen thou shalt make it. 4 square it shall be, being doubled. A span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set in it settings of stones, even 4 rows of stones. The first row shall be of sardis, of topaz, of carbuncle. This shall be the first row. The second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. the third row, a ligure, and a gate, and an amethyst. The fourth row, beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold and in their enclosings, and the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with his name shall there be according to the 12 tribes. Okay. As you look at the list here, you'll find that the first one that is listed very carefully and very much in a row, the first row shall be Sardis, who is the eldest of the tribe of Israel, Reuben. So now we have a name with a stone. Reuben was the oldest of the 12 sons of Jacob, the 12 tribes. And so we have there the very first stone. So connect Sardis with Reuben. Now, jump all the way down to the last one. The last one is jasper down in verse 20. And who is the youngest of the sons? That would be Benjamin. So we have Reuben, and now we have Benjamin with the jasper stone. And so those two we have now in place. And so by reading this, we see that the two stones that he's listed here is the first and the last stone of the breastplate that is upon the high priest. Understand, there's never a time that it doesn't have a wonderful meaning to what we're looking at. And so now we have the Sardis and the jasper stone. Now, come back to Revelation chapter 4, once again to that third verse. We have Sardis being the first, and we have jasper being the second. The jasper stone is clear as crystal, according to Revelation 21:11. The jasper stone is clear as crystal, something that we can understand would mean God's holiness, God's perfection. This is who John witnessed, saw seated upon the throne, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Crystal clear, holy, perfect. Sardis, the Sardis stone, also known as the bloody stone. Sardis is red, was blood red, as it said. Now you notice here it's Sardin, and this is Sardis. It's one and the same. Back in Exodus 28, chapter 28, we read that it was the first stone listed for the eldest, which is Reuben. The jasper is the last stone, the 12th stone, crystal clear, listed for the youngest, for Benjamin. The question comes, we've turned them around. The jasper stone is first, and Sardis is second in John's description. So why do we change it from Reuben, Sardis, jasper, Benjamin, and now we have put the first stone, the last stone first, and the first stone last? So now, instead of Sardis, blood red, Reuben, jasper, Benjamin, clear as crystal, we have turned them around. Let's think about what that Sardis stone would stand for. What do you think of when you think of blood red? We think of none other than the sacrifice that our Lord Jesus gave for us on the cross. It points to the cross. It points to the first coming of the Lord Jesus to shed his blood for the remission of our sins. The name Reuben comes from two Hebrew words meaning behold the Son. So we have a connection here with the Sardis, with Reuben, with behold the Son, the meaning that's coming with it. Jasper, the last stone, crystal clear, Benjamin. The Hebrew meaning for Benjamin, two divided words, the son of my power and the son of my right hand. So Sardis is behold the Son. Jasper is the son of my power and the son of my right hand. So Sardis would stand for the cross. And the last, the 12th one, would point to the rule, the reign, the power of the Lord Jesus. So the first and second coming of our Lord Jesus is Sardis and Jasper. Back to the question, why has the Lord turned them around? Why did he give Jasper first and then did he give Sardis? Let's remember where John finds himself. John's in the presence of the Lord. John looks at the glory of the Lord. John is seeing the second coming. The church is raptured. He looks from there, seeing Jasper, crystal clear, and looks back to Sardis, to the cross. How many times have we talked about the Old Testament saints? They looked forward to the cross. We look back to the cross. Well, John has went one more step forward because he has been taken up into the presence. So now he sees Jasper, crystal clear, holiness, perfection, and he looks back to the cross. So you see, there is nothing ever in the Word of God that is not of meaning, and we need to take a look at that to see. When you read that next time, just like we went through these seven churches over and over again, we see here when you read that, and he that sat was to look like a jasper stone, a jasper, and so crystal clear, perfect. That stands for Benjamin, and Benjamin means the son of my power, the son of my right hand. But then we sure cannot miss looking then back to the cross where we were redeemed, the Sardis stone with the blood. And so what a joy it is to look. John sees the jasper stone first. And so again, we need to understand where John was looking from. He sees first the righteousness of God and then the cross, because of his position and his place. I said there were three stones we were going to take a look at. The first one was the Sardis stone, which was Reuben. The last stone was the jasper, which was Benjamin. And there's one left. This is the strangest color of a rainbow that you and I have ever witnessed. It's not a rainbow of many colors like we see and enjoy. And they say that that there is areas within that. Sometimes you'll see one down below and one above. And they say that there are colors between there, beautiful colors that our eyes just cannot see because of the location of the sun. But this rainbow is of one color, emerald. It's an emerald stone. The emerald stone is a beautiful, beautiful green color. Right now, when you look, the yard still has some little green grass to it. The leaves, we talked about that, how beautiful the leaves become in the fall. But it's not long then that the branches are bare. The grass is dead. I can't wait. I know you folks don't like this, but I can't wait till the snow covers it. It gives us something. It's beautiful to see that white, beautiful snow. And then as soon as the snow is over, spring comes. And God has chosen the color green to cover His earth with. It's a color that's been declared by all that it is soothing, it is peaceful, it brings you, you know, you can sit out and just look at the trees in the springtime when the leaves come out and the grass is green. It's just so, so beautiful. So for God to choose the emerald as the circle around His throne, and that's what it is as we look at this here. And He sat, was looked upon like a jasper and a sardis stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. We've talked about the color. Does anybody want to make a guess of what tribe the emerald is of? We've got Reuben. We've got Benjamin. How about Judah? The emerald stone is of Judah. Where'd the Lord Jesus? He came through the family of Judah. The virgin birth was through Judah. You see, there is nothing in this precious word that isn't full and of joy to see. So for us to look and to see what Reuben means and what Benjamin means and what the sardis stone stands for and what the jasper stone looks and stands for and the colors of all, and then now to add in the third stone, the emerald. The reason it's turned around, jasper, then sardis, is because of where John is. John is looking at the glory of the Lord, the glorified Jesus. He's seeing Him seated at his throne. So he sees the power and the glory. But then he doesn't miss by any means the means of getting there, and that's through the cross back to the sardis stone. But for him to circle the throne with this emerald. What happens when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? When you walk by faith, what comes? Peace, joy, contentment, all the things that God's nature with this beautiful green that He has covered everything with brings to us as we look upon them and we see them. Life itself. So the next time when you study and you read down through these verses, don't miss seeing, and don't just read God's word. Sardis stone, jasper stone, emerald stone. Okay, I know the jasper's crystal clear. I understand that. Sardis is red, I understand that. Emerald's green, okay, and you go on. Did you stop to think of which one of the tribes and what that name on that stone, up on that breastplate, means? And then to come to what circles that the only peace we can have is through Jesus, the emerald. Beautiful, simple story. Beautiful, beautiful story. The rainbow was given to Noah for a promise. So we look at the rainbow that's circling the throne, completes every word and every promise that God has given to His church. To keep us, to save us, to deliver us. What a joy. The jasper, sardis, and emerald. Now you come back tonight and there will be a test. So let's close in prayer. Father, I thank and praise you that we can come and just take our time and go through these simple things. Wonderful things for us to see. When a Jew would look at the breastplate of that high priest, each one would know exactly who his family was, whether he was the first or the last or the middle, where that his name was written and what stone it was written on. So for us to look at what John is seeing and use such a wonderful description, shows us his righteousness and shows us his sacrifice and reminds us of the family, the tribe he come through. And again, to have that peace, to have the joy that is given because of the sacrifice you've given us, because you rose from the dead, because you're in the presence of your Father, and because there's going to be a day we're going to join you, nothing can bring us greater peace and joy. So please today, just speak to all of our hearts. Let your word, the Holy Spirit, convict our hearts and show us and just bring us that peace. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, please bring us to Him, to your Son, that we by faith will be saved and begin that wonderful walk of peace and joy. Now please speak to our hearts now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.